Happy 11/17/2020, everybody. My name's Larry Jacob. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. And thank you for listening to our show today here on Education Talk Radio, which, as you know, is part of our American Consortium for Equity in Education, which we are so proud of. And speaking of equity, we have the director of ACT Center for Equity and Learning, Tina Gridiron, with us today. She's just took the job, okay, as director of the center in July. We're thrilled to have her with us here today. She's had some time to get used to it, and what a crazy year it has been to get used to it. We're going to talk to her about our goals for 2021, all about equity, what ACT is doing, just equity in general. It's going to be a nice show, and I'm looking forward to speaking to Tina today. And we archive the show over at our American Consortium website, which is ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. And if you go over there, you'll see our wonderful magazine, I'm so proud of that, which is called Equity and Access. We'll have a new issue up there sometime this week for the November-December period. You'll really enjoy that. Please check it out. We'll keep reminding you of that over at ace-ed.org. All our podcasts are over there, the magazine, and a whole bunch of great information. And we'd love you to join our consortium. It is free to educators pre-K-12, so please do that and tell your friends about it. We'd love to hear what you have to say about equity and access to learning, and that's so key these days. We tweet over at EduTalk Radio and also at Access to Equity ED. Access, the number two, Access to Equity ED. All right, we link in over at my name, Larry Jacobs, and we Facebook over at my name again, Larry Jacobs, and then at Education Talk Radio. And you can friend us, follow us, link with us, etc. Okay, but again, key thing, ace-ed.org. Second key thing is Tina Gridiron. Hi, Tina. It's Larry here.
Hello, Larry. It's great to hear your voice, and it's great to be with you this morning.
It is fabulous to have you here, Madam Director. That's cool.
Thank you so much. It's been a wonderful transition since July. And, of course, in the midst of COVID, we do the best that we can, but it's been a great joy to be a part of the ACT team.
Yeah, I bet it is. They're nice people, I'll tell you. I work with them a lot here on the podcast and in the magazine and through the consortium, and you're just going to be something terrific. They're lucky to have you, and you're lucky to have them. That's all I got to say. What were you doing before this, Tina? Okay? What were you doing? Were you sent here from another planet and landed in July and immediately got the job? Or were you doing things on this planet that were interesting? What's going on? What'd you do?
Well, I was doing things on this planet, absolutely. I am originally from California, live in Indianapolis, Indiana, and right before joining ACT, I was consulting with foundations that had a commitment to increasing post-secondary access and success, and before that, I worked for 14 years for a foundation that made grants to organizations and researchers and institutions that were making a difference for first-generation low-income students of color. And before that, it was 15 years in higher education at different institutions in California. So higher education, student success, commitment to diversity, equity, inclusion, commitment to seeing first-generation low-income students of color, exceptional learners achieve the success that they dream of has been a part of my DNA for over 20 years, Larry. I know I look 21, but not quite there anymore.
You took the words out of my mouth. I saw your picture. You do look like you're 21. When you must have applied for the job, they must have gone, oh, my God, where did this woman come from? I mean, you've got the perfect resume. It's unbelievable.
Thank you so much, Larry. Right. Sometimes it's about the stars aligning and things coming together in ways that you didn't expect. This is my one-year anniversary with ACT. I joined the team on October 7th, 2019, and so I just finished my 1 year, and a colleague of mine who is no longer with ACT, but who I've known for 20 years, Jim Larimore, is a colleague who I've known and stayed in touch with, and you know what they say, don't burn a bridge, because you don't who's going to provide you with the next opportunity. And Jim called. I was at an inflection point and a transition point, and he said, come to the center and let's see what we can do to further strengthen, accelerate, expand, and deepen ACT's work around equity and success.
Ah, wonderful. They're lucky. As I say, they're lucky to have you. And you moved from California to Indianapolis. You can't be that big a Colts fan. Nobody is. How long have you been in Indianapolis? Sorry, Indianapolis. I'm just kidding. Go ahead. But seriously.
No worries.
Okay.
I am a Colts fan. I've been here 18 years now. It's been a wonderful ride. I tell people all the time, I moved to Indianapolis for marriage. That didn't work out, but the job was amazing with Lumen Foundation, so I stayed put. And my children are well served, and ACT is flexible so that I can continue to live in Indianapolis and then do work from home and stay engaged with our headquarters in Iowa City. So it's being in the right place at the right time, and a foundation that was just getting started back in 2002 offered me a job I could not refuse, and I stayed with them for 14 years, and it was a fun ride, for sure. I'm a woman of meaning. I believe in purpose and meaning driving how I spend my time, and Lumina was a great connection, and ACT is already a great connection for me to allow my passion and commitment to education, commitment to students who have not been well served, giving that a place to blossom even within an organization that has the great history that ACT does. It's been a gift.
It does.
For sure, Larry, a gift.
It really does. And you are, I have to tell you, you're one of the most I can tell already, you're one of the most enthusiastic people I've ever had on the show.
Oh, no.
I can just hear it in your voice. giving you compliments for no reason. I can't think of the right word. But you're just flattering you for no reason. Yeah. All the ladies. You just sound so enthusiastic about. And it's not, and I know you're enthusiastic about ACT. I love them too, but you're enthusiastic about the mission. Okay,
yes.
I can feel it and hear it, and you know we're real involved in this. What do you work? We work so closely with AC&T, with ACT, AC&T. You're not AT&T. You're ACT for goodness' sakes. Okay, AT&T. I'm normal, right? All right, but you're now running the Center for Equity in Learning. All right. And I want to put a little perspective on this. You know, some of the testing companies, and I don't mean to bring up a bad thing, but it's important we talk about it. It's elephant in the room. Were accused of inequity. Okay. And that was never their intent. And that this, you know, I could say that without hesitation. But over the course of time, as society changes and all that, things change. Okay. ACT is a standout in equity.
Yeah.
All right. And, you know, we wind up with the PR problem, et cetera, okay, which you guys are working every day to overcome. Now they've got you, Tina Gridiron, directing the Center for Equity at the company. What's your vision for the center? And you can put it into that perspective if you want to, okay? And I know we're going to talk about this in detail, about the underserved kids and underrepresented minorities. I know that. But your center, your vision for the center, what is it?
Yes. Well, the center was launched back in 2016 and was designed to be a mechanism within ACT to unpack and understand all of the ways that our tools, our solutions, our efforts are making a difference, to strengthen them if they're areas for growth, and to connect with external leaders, external partners who can inform how ACT enters the education ecospace, how ACT makes a difference for students. You know, you mentioned the elephant in the room, the fact that there are lots of conversations right now in the education space about the role of assessment, about the role of tests in admissions, the role of understanding what students know and are able to do and using that information either as an opening of doors for students or as a closing of doors for students. And so one of the things that I think is important to always unpack is that ACT as an assessment, as one of the many things that we do. We have great social-emotional learning work. We have tremendous navigation work. We have an opportunity to explore adaptive learning work. So measurement, our ACT test, is one of the many things that we do. And in that space, our desire is to shine a light on what students know and are able to do. If you remember taking the ACT, or if you have grandchildren or children who have taken the ACT test, you'll know that they get a score report that that gives them detailed information in their math area, in their expert arena around reading or around comprehension or around many different elements of the learning journey. If we were to lean in on the assessment as a mechanism for showing students what they know and are able to do, and then taking that learning for further growth, for further strengthening, for further advancement, I like to think of ACT as a mechanism to shine a light on what students know and are able to do, and then to explore strategies for strengthening. It was never designed to be a blunt instrument or a gatekeeper for keeping students away from opportunities. It was designed to be an assessment to shine a light, to give students a sense of where they needed to go, to be that elevator, if you will, that escalator, if you will, that would help students along their journey to the next level of excellence, of mastery, of strength in lots of different areas. My sense is we have an opportunity right now to partner with those organizations that, one, want to use the assessment in the way that it was designed, as a learning tool, as a tool for further enhancement and further development and further growth for, with students. And to the extent that it hasn't been used in that way, we want to explore a conversation on how to unpack that. We know that there are many elements that have serve to keep students from success. We know that there's inequity in how resources are distributed in the K-12 space. We know that there are inequities in terms of teachers who are able to be a part of a student's learning journey that have many years of experience, that are master teachers, versus teachers that are only provisionally certified in their area. We know that there's room for growth in teacher professional development, in school resources, in equitable distribution of opportunities around AP and IB and lots of different resources that we know help students. Rigorous academic curriculum for students matters. It mattered in my life, Larry, and I know
I
that
agree.
It matters for all students. And so ACT wants to be a part of that conversation so that rigorous curriculum is available to all students. Supports for the students to do well in that rigorous curriculum is available to all students. And then a mentor and a support individual to challenge the student to set high expectations, to cheer the students when they reach milestones, and to continue to provide suggestions for students of things that they may not have considered. It's a full package. The assessment is one step in the process, not the only step in the process. And as a community of educators, we need to continue to unpack all of those elements and break down all of those barriers that may keep a student from the success that they desire.
Hear, hear. That was a great, and I couldn't agree with you more. And I'm serious and about the rigorous curriculum, and I rail on this all the time. Okay?
Mm-hmm,
we do kids such a disservice by not giving them rigorous curriculum all the time. In fact, I was just reading something on the internet today, I think it was in the Boston Globe, I'm not sure, okay, about how there's teachers that want to do far more rigorous curriculum online right now, that people are using the remote education as an excuse not to give a rigorous curriculum, and that is an insult to kids. And we do it all the time, especially with kids in the socioeconomic classes, the lower socioeconomic classes, where expectations are lower, and we screw the kids, okay, every time.
Larry,
I'm gonna introduce you to someone, okay, because this will matter to you. At Johns Hopkins Center for Education Policy,
okay,
they believe in exactly what you just said. You may know them, okay. And Dave Steiner and Ashley Berner are two professors there. And they are advocates of rigorous curriculum. You should know them.
Fantastic.
Well, I'll introduce you. They're good friends of mine.
We would all be in alignment with each other then, because rigorous curriculum has always been an element that ACT promoted, that ACT encouraged. You know,
exactly.
When we think about
and people, people blame the test because the kids are not up to the standard of the test, okay? And they aren't up to the standard of the test not because they're stupid, okay? But because the rigor of the curriculum has not been put into motion at an early enough grade, which leaves me to an interesting question, okay, which just dawned on me as I was listening to you. Okay, ACT, and you are right, it was never meant to be a roadblock. It was meant to be a measure, okay? And again, I still remember when I was a kid, oh, my God, the college boards, what we call them back then. Okay, oh, my God, you know, oh, my God, I have to, you know, it shouldn't be like that. It was a measure. But one of the challenges, Tina, and I'm going to love talking to you a lot of times from now on and in the future, okay? one of the things, okay, is that kids, and I'm going to use a classic example here, and this is prior to their new superintendent. Kids in kids in Detroit public schools were graduating and doing well, okay? But when they got to college, they found out they were reading at a fifth grade level. They're getting A's and B's at Detroit public schools, okay? But they're reading at a fifth, sixth, maybe seventh grade level, okay? Mm-hmm. So the kids are misled into thinking they're ready. They had the same thing in Boston public schools. The Boston Globe, a number of years ago, followed where the valedictorians of Boston public schools were. And all of them got into college, and most of them, if I may just generalize, flunked out. Okay? Because they're told one thing. Oh, I got an A, Mom. I graduated high school with all B's. But it's not a true measure. Okay, my question is, okay, and this is where ACT comes in so important, and it's that whole equity thing. If kids took the SAT, I don't know how to do this, I'm not an expert in this kind of thing, at an earlier age, I'm just going to make this up, and because you're not in Detroit, you're not in Boston, you're not in wherever we're talking about, you're neutral, okay, but it measures what kids need to succeed in higher education. Okay, if they took that test in seventh grade and the realization hit everybody, these kids are not ready, we still have time to make good. Okay, but we wait till the last minute, 11th and 12th grade, and the kids, you know, instead of getting a 14, they get a 6. Okay,
well,
what the heck? I'm getting A's and B's here. Come on, Tina, help me here. How am I doing? How am I doing, Tina? Don't tell me I don't listen to you, Tina. I do listen to you. Now speak.
You are on fire, Larry. What we do know is that the ACT is an assessment that helps students understand what they know and are able to do. What we also know is that alignment within K through 12 and higher education, aligning what the curriculum looks like in K through 12 with what higher education expects of their students, is still a work in progress, I would say. We have some conversations that still need to happen between the K through 12 arena and the higher education arena so that we are never blaming each other. We are creating a system that is aligned, that is seamless, that is designed for the success of the student. I am a glass half full person, Larry, and I believe we have strong educators in the K through 12 space and strong educators in the higher education space that care about student success. Getting all of those strong players together, aligned, whether it's in Detroit, whether it's in Boston, whether it's in California or Indianapolis, getting them aligned so that students are aware of what they need to know and be able to do, teachers are aware of what students know and need to be able to do, and higher education is consistent in what messages it sends back and how it partners with their K-12 in their local arena and invests in that system so that local students are able to take advantage of higher education success in a seamless, well-designed, well-supported way. We know that there are many things that still need to be improved in the educational learner journey for students. We know that there's academic rigor that is needed, that there's high expectations that are needed, but there's also policy and institutional alignment strategies that are needed so that a student who gets an A from whatever high school or is the valedictorian from whatever high school that they graduate from knows that that experience is aligned well with all institutions that they might want to choose. And then it's up to them to find the right fit of the institution, knowing that they've done the hard work, you are correct. Alignment is needed. You are correct that student curriculum and rigor is needed. But consistency, no matter whether you live in Indianapolis or in Chicago or in Detroit or in Hawaii, for example, we want to make sure that there's consistency across our education system, not state by state or community by community, but as a nation committed to education for
us. Yeah, and it's crazy. You know, I love when people compare us to Finland. Finland, which is the size of, I'll say, Minnesota. I don't know. Okay, but the point is, even Minnesota. I'm only using you as an example, Minnesota. Okay, yeah. They can't even get it all coordinated. Oh, okay, and we got 50 states. Okay, and Puerto
There's
Rico
too. There's room for growth, Larry.
Growth. We can't
we
be
are,
compared.
We are making baby steps. For sure. Yeah, but we're taking it one step at a time. What we find with the center is that there are many organizations that are making a difference for students. There are school districts that are very focused on student success, not just for high school graduation, not even just for college enrollment, but college completion, post-secondary completion, credentialing completion. What we know is that there's a workforce connection, there's an internship connection, that when we are investing in the whole student, that student is engaged in service learning. That student is engaged in rigorous curriculum. That student is engaged in extracurricular activities that help to round out who they are as people and how they're going to contribute to this world that they live in, that right now the student has value. Right now the student can be engaged in things that matter. And ACT wants to partner with those organizations and institutions that are recognizing the full potential of all students, particularly first-generation, low-income students, students of color, students who have been disconnected or not well-served by the education experience, organizations like the Gear Up programs that we know that matter, or that the AVID programs that are around the country that are making a difference, or colleges and universities that are partnering with their local high schools to have dual enrollment programs and the early learner programs. What we know is that partnership matters, collaboration matters, and intentionality for outcomes at the beginning. There's an organization called Excellency in Education that specifically works with Latino students and are making a difference for Latinx students in their college preparation, access, and success. And they talk, their organization, Excellency in Education, talks a lot about being intentional and designing systems, designing programs for the success of the student. They have a database of examples of success. They call them the examples of Excellencia, organizations that are making a difference for Latinx students at the high school level, at the two-year institution level, at the four-year institution level. And ACT has been a proud supporter and collaborator and a partner with them for many years. That is just one example of many organizations that ACT has made a commitment to partner with. Better Make Room, Reach Higher, or other organizations, the College Point Program, other efforts that are making a difference for first-generation, low-income students of color. Those organizations every day get up and say, what can we do to change the outcomes for the better for more students? And ACT Center for Equity and Learning is thrilled to be a partner with them, to lift up what they are doing, to collaborate with them any way that we can, and then to make a difference to show that students are being well-served. It's a gift to be a part of this process, but it takes committed individuals that are not going to shy away from difficult conversations, that are not going to shy away from the data that tells us that we need to do more, Larry. We can't just rest on our laurels. We can't sit still. The future of our communities, the future of our states, the future of our U.S. participation globally requires an informed, well-educated workforce, civically minded individual, and ACT is part of that process.
Of critical thinkers, I might add. We got to add that in there. We got to. I know you do, and I know you work for this every day. And by the way, you're working for us too. Our consortium for equity and education. We love having you there. And I'm going to say right now, and I know Christina is listening to this. I would love you to write an article for our magazine. We got a big issue coming up on college preparedness. Mm. And Tina, I'm telling you right now, would you write an article for us? And Christina will hear me.
It would be my pleasure.
And I would be our pleasure. It would be our pleasure. But I want to hear the fire as you write the words, as opposed to when you say it. It's just so
fair
true.
Enough.
Let me ask you a question, okay? With all of this, you just named a whole bunch of great organizations, etc.
Yeah.
How? And by the way, I did a show last week, okay? And I learned about the ACT's graduating class data. Okay,
yes.
And to be fair, it was a COVID year,
yes.
And obviously there was slippage all around, but it was not good news from the class of 2020, okay? And anybody can see this data. I think it's ACT.org/graduated class 2012. It's 2012, 2020. I don't know what year it is. I'm sorry, Tina. All right, 2020, okay? But the data is there up on your website, okay?
Yes.
And it doesn't... It's a downward trend. Let me just be honest. So thank you for letting us know this. That's A. Okay. So all the things you just said, all the organization, ours too, et cetera, where are we? Okay. We need to have some hope here. Okay. And I recognize it's a nutty year. Everybody knows it's a nutty year. But now we have to teach in a nutty year. We can't let that, be the reason we're not teaching as well as we could. Okay. We're in it.
Yeah.
We're stuck. It's a pandemic. We're not going to waste a year waiting, hopefully, for the vaccine or whatever. We got to do it now. So what's your sense of where we are now? Okay, after all this, Latino kids, African-American kids, any lower socioeconomic group, whatever you want to say, gender, whatever, how we doing?
We are a community of educators and leaders that recognize that the data is telling us we have to do more, and we are committed to doing more. We recognize that the data tells us that in the midst of COVID-19, in the midst of a political season that has been quite intense, that there's still an opportunity for conversation where education is a vehicle that can make a difference.
Yeah.
We know that more students are participating, more students are engaged, more students are every day aspiring to workforce engagement, aspiring to 2-year and 4-year success, and we want to champion and support that desire, those dreams. Students from all walks of life, immigrant students, students from low-income communities, students from backgrounds where their parents didn't go to college are still aspiring to success, are still aspiring to that next level of educational success. And so the good news is we have leaders that recognize that more is on the horizon, that we cannot be okay with the achievement gaps that are real, Larry, the realities that between low-income and high-income students, we see a greater disparities than we as a nation should be comfortable with. And so when we look to strategies, ACT wants to be about serving students well. We have free resources that students from low-income communities can take advantage of. We are always looking for ways that we can make our tools and resources accessible to students, particularly students who are on free and reduced lunch, students who are experiencing financial challenges. We are making a difference for those students, and there is hope. The hope is, as long as we continue to talk about interventions that will matter, we look at the data, we let the data tell us where there are still frayed edges or where there are still gaps, and then we pull up our boots and say we're going to make the steps required to eliminating those barriers. ACT Center for Equity and Learning wants to partner with those organizations that recognize that those gaps are not acceptable, and then do what is required to create solutions, to create tools, to create interventions that matter. for student success, because we know that all students can achieve if given the right circumstances, in the right environment, with the right cheerleaders, with the right supports, success is possible. I am an example of that success as a first-generation, low-income student of color myself, and I know that it was individuals who made a difference and organizations that I was able to tap into early in my education career that made a difference for me. I don't want to be the exception to the rule, Larry. I want more students to be a part of that success story, that hope story, and ACT wants to always be a party to that conversation for the future.
Well, you are a shining example, I got to tell you, and I want to tell everybody, and you made a good point, and, you know, everybody looks at the college boards or, you know, the college admissions tests, whatever, I don't mean to use college boards all the time, and says, oh, my God, I have to go through this, and your point a minute ago was just well taken. It's a repositioning thing. ACT is there to help. It's not there to hinder, okay? And there could be a mindset about the college admissions testing, okay? We're wrong about that, okay? The whole point of the testing is to get kids, give them the opportunity, not to stand in their way, and that's exactly what you guys are doing. And I'll tell you something. If people want to learn about it, I just want to give the website. You can just Google ACT Center for Equity. Okay, but it's equityandlearning.act.org. But we're going to do more shows, I got to tell you, because we are so in line. Well, we knew that before, but Tina, it's just so great to have you on and hear it all expounded so well. Thank you, my dear.
My pleasure. You're wonderful.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Thank you so much, Larry.
And I'm sorry, the Colts, you know, the swing to the Patriots. That's all I can tell you. I think you'll be a happier person if that's possible, Tina. Move to the Patriots.
Thank you for the suggestion. I'm going to stay there for now.
It's my play. You don't have to actually physically move here. You just have to get all their paraphernalia and gear. That's all. I just want to make that point. We'll just move on from there. Okay? So this was wonderful, Tina. It's great to know you. Thank you.
You take care.
Thank you.
Great to meet you as
well.
You
too. Yes, stay safe.
Bye-bye.
Tina Gridiron, everybody, who's a VP at ACT, the director of their Center for Equity and Learning. She is something. I love that woman. All right, boy, are we on the same wavelength, I got to tell you. Okay, we work very closely with them at our American Consortium for Equity and Learning, and we'd love to work very closely with you. It's free for educators. Thanks to companies like ACT, all right, over at ace-ed.org, where we're going to archive this show, okay? So thank you, Tina. This was wonderful. And my friend Christina, thank you so much. And, yes, we're going to get an article in there, okay? And we'll make sure of that in the magazine. So thanks for listening, everybody. Take care. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.